I'm glad each one of you is here tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to speak. Probably a little more today than I normally do. We are still meeting for the brown bag meals on Wednesday nights about 6 or a little after. We're not having very many come, but we enjoy eating with those that are here. Be happy for any of you to come as you have opportunity. Tonight is the fourth, I believe, lesson in the series on clouds. Next Sunday night, I plan to speak on the subject of under a cloud. You've probably heard that statement made sometime when there is suspicion or a rumor that somebody's under a cloud. And we'll be talking about that next Sunday night. Tonight I'm reading from Genesis 9, beginning with verse 12, going through verse 17. And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, the perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." There is a song that's not in our book that is entitled, "God Put a Rainbow in the Cloud." When God shut Noah in the grand old ark, he put a rainbow in the cloud. When the thunders rolled and the sky was dark, God put a rainbow in the cloud. Away down yonder in Egypt's sand, God put a rainbow in the cloud, just to lead his children to the promised land. God put a rainbow in the cloud. When they put old Daniel in the lion's den, God put a rainbow in the cloud, just to prove his promise to the sons of men. God put a rainbow in the cloud. As a sign by day and a sign by night, God put a rainbow in the cloud, just to guide his people and to keep them right. God put a rainbow in the cloud. O Jordan's deep and Jordan's wide, God put a rainbow in the cloud to lead his people to the other side. God put a rainbow in the cloud. The chorus, "God put a rainbow in the cloud," when it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in the cloud. There are a few things, in my opinion, that are more beautiful than a rainbow. I have seen many of them, so have you. I still haven't found the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. A few years ago, I was driving in Middle Tennessee and there was a storm. And I saw something that I don't remember having seen maybe before. I saw a rainbow that had two ends. I could see the end, or where the end came down, at each end of the rainbow. On that particular day, it seemed the colors were especially bright. And that was a beautiful scene. But the importance of the rainbow is not in its beauty. It is in what it represented at the time it began, and what it should and can represent to you and me today. God put the rainbow in the cloud to say, I promise that I will never destroy all flesh again with a flood. And this is a token of the promise that I'm making. In a sense, he was saying to Noah, every time you see that rainbow in the cloud, you can remember that God will keep his promises. I was not necessarily a fan of President Jimmy Carter, but there's one thing I remember about him that I especially liked. He had a statement that he used over and over again. He would be talking about something, and he would say what he was going to do, and then he would say, and you can count on that. Well, I'm not for sure that we've ever had a politician that you could count 100% on everything they said. But we do have a God who, in a sense, says to us in more ways than one, but especially through the rainbow, you can count on that. And I'm thankful that we can know that. Have you ever stopped to consider what it would be like to live in a world like we live in if we did not have the promises of God? Have you considered what it would be like to go to the cemetery with the body of a loved one and place that body in the grave? We did not have the promises of God. As we go through disappointments in life, as we have our discouragements, the one thing that is constant, the one thing that is sure, is that you can count on God. Just before this rainbow was given, it had repented God that he had made the human race. And he first decided that he would destroy the entire human race. But then Noah found grace in the sight of God, and he spared the human race through sparing Noah and his family. There have been other times that God was very disappointed with his people. And I'm rather sure today when he looks at the world, even looks at our nation, that he is greatly disappointed. I would even go so far as to say when he looks at the church across the world, that he probably is disappointed. And yet with all of that being true, the rainbow reminds us that God will keep his promises. I want to mention six promises tonight that have been made either from the mouth of the Father or the mouth of the Son, and emphasize how important those promises are. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. He called it the kingdom in the next verse. And in the last verse of that chapter said that some of those that were living at that time, the apostles, would not die before he fulfilled that promise. This promise is especially important to us in the times in which we live. I think I am safe in saying that the majority of the people who live today who claim to have any association with Christ do not believe that the kingdom has been established. You might be surprised at that, but do some checking. And those who are of the Jewish nation, religiously speaking, do not believe that Christ has come yet, that the Messiah has not come yet. if Christ made the promise that he would establish his kingdom and did not keep that promise, where would we be today? Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 2:2 that the house of God would be set up in the mountains. Daniel prophesied in Daniel 2:44 that it would be the kingdom of God and that it would crush all other kingdoms. And as we said, Jesus promised that he would build it or bring it into existence. Psalms 89 says that God will not break his covenant. In that connection, in that chapter, he uses the example of the moon being a witness of the sun, and says, as the moon is a witness, I'm giving you the witness today that I will not alter my covenant. I will not fail to do that which I have promised. Most of those who teach some kind of premillennialism that the kingdom has not been established will say that Jesus came to establish his kingdom, that he was rejected, that he was unable to do what he came to do, and he set up the church instead. Have you ever thought what that really says? If Jesus couldn't do it the first time, why would we believe he could do it at another time? And if Jesus failed to do that which he promised, how could we count on anything that has been promised? When you see a rainbow in the cloud, you can be reminded that God, through his Son, promised to bring the kingdom into existence during the lifetime of the apostles. And you can count on that. And you can reinforce that belief by passages like Colossians 1:13 and 14, stating that God has delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And another reinforcement would be where John said that he was in the kingdom when he was on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation 1. I will establish my kingdom, Jesus said, before all of the apostles have died. The rainbow in the cloud reminds us that he kept his promise. I appreciate the promise from God that says, I will forgive sins. If we didn't have that promise, we would be in a difficult situation. For all of us make mistakes. The forgiveness of our sins is one of the greatest blessings that we have. When we have the promise in 1 John 1:9 that he will forgive our sins, we have one of the greatest promises that's made anywhere. And although he warns a few verses later at the beginning of the second chapter of 1 John that we ought to try not to sin, he immediately says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins. Jesus has promised, God has promised, to forgive us our sins. Not only that, he has promised to forget them. Twice in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, 12, and 10, 17, he quotes from an Old Testament prophecy, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Meaning that God has promised not only to forgive our sins, but to wipe the slate clean, as though that sin had never happened. What a great promise that is. He sent his Son and allowed that Son to die on the cross and shed his blood, that in that blood we might have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. And we are admonished to be kind and to be forgiving of one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. That verse puts the forgiveness in the past, a past tense. even as God hath forgiven you, he said. They had that promise then. We have that promise now. God said, I will forgive your sins. It's not a blanket coverage. It's not unconditional. But it is a promise that is made and a promise that God will keep. The next time you look at a rainbow, just remember that God put that bow in the cloud to seal the covenant that he made with man. There is a promise made in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that is very important. Paul says there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able. Notice this. But will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. Literally, what God is promising there is, I will make it possible for you to escape any problem that you face in life. There is nothing too big. There is nothing too difficult. There is nothing too horrible. But that there can be a way of escape. He said, I won't allow you to be tempted beyond your control. And let me sidetrack just a minute to remind you, when people talk about some of the sins in the Bible as being things that people cannot control, God said, I will not allow you to be tempted beyond your control. He said, I will make a way of escape, or make a way that you may be able to escape. What a promise that is. Sometimes when we feel the worst and maybe the lowest in life, sometimes when we feel that the world is closing in on us and there's no way out, just remember God said, I will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He put it another way in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. He didn't say everything would be good. He didn't say everything would be a bed of roses. But he said the end result can be good for the Christian if he really trusts in God. To those who are called according to his purpose, stated later in that verse. He said, I promise you, I will make a way of escape. When you and I have our lowest points, when we have our darkest moments, perhaps we need to be reminded of that. And perhaps each time we see a rainbow, we ought to be reminded that with God's help, not apart from him, but with God's help, we can find a way to escape and to overcome any problem that arises in life. Another promise that is made, about which we can be reminded as we see the rainbow in the cloud. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Verse 8 of that chapter says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever, which strengthens the promise that he's made in verse 5. I will never leave thee. Have you ever had a friend forsake you? I have. I've had a preacher friend forsake not only me and his family, but forsake the Lord. Have you ever had someone that you really counted a close friend who turned their back on you at one time or another? Perhaps all of us have. And yet Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As he gave the Great Commission, you may remember in Matthew's account, he said, you go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world or the end of the age. In Romans, the 8th chapter, toward the end of the chapter, there are some of the most comforting words that are given in the Bible. And it's given in these are given in an unusual approach. Probably what we would call rhetorical questions. Meaning, as you ask the question, you don't really expect an answer. The answer's in the question, and yet sometimes he does give the answer. Beginning in Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? In other words, who is there that can really condemn us? And sometimes we may feel condemned by people. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The positive statement to that question would be, Christ is saying, I promise you there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or pearl, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in these things we are more than conquerors. Even when things seem to be so bad, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. And I want you to notice the first thing that he uses in this list. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's one thing that's not in that list. And in a sense, it can't separate us from the love of Christ, but it can separate us from Christ. And that's oneself. The only way that you can be separated from Christ is to make that decision yourself. There is no power that can drive a wedge between you and Christ against your will. You've got to be willing to allow it to happen, because Jesus said, I will never leave thee. Jesus can go with us even where our closest family cannot go. If you ever had surgery, you may remember that you came to a certain place where the doctor or nurse or somebody said to your family, this is as far as you can go. But Jesus could go with you all the way to the operating table. He will go with you even to death and through death and into the eternity. I will never leave thee. You can count on that. And that rainbow reminds us of it. Another promise Jesus made is, I will come again. And here again. If we didn't have that promise as we go to the graveside, how difficult it would be. If we could not believe in the resurrection and the return of our Savior, life would be so different. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14:1, and at verse 23 of that chapter, he said, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, continuing the first part, for I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. When you look at a rainbow the next time, remember that promise. This world is not my home, we sing. And I'm not for sure we really think about the true meaning of that statement. Jesus said, I will come again. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The last chapter of Revelation talks about his coming, and then evidently the writer of the book added, after Jesus finished his discourse, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. There are not many words in the Bible after that statement is made. I will come again. And then there is the promise that's connected to that. I will give the faithful Christian a crown of life. Paul said, I've finished the course, I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. That's in the last chapter of the last book that Paul wrote, 2 Timothy. He said, when I finish the course and I finish my life on this earth, there is going to be a crown of righteousness for me. God said, I will give you that crown of righteousness if you are faithful and finish that course and keep the faith. What a promise that is. At the end of the judgment scene in Matthew 25, he says, the sheep shall go into life everlasting. That's that crown that he's talking about. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death. And he says, I'll give you a place in heaven or a crown, depending on how you describe that. 1 Peter 1 and verse 4 talks about the great and precious promises which are in Christ Jesus. We've looked at just a few of those tonight. God said, I will establish my kingdom. He did. He said, I will forgive, and he will. I will make you a way of escape when you have problems. He's promised that. I will never leave you. I will come again, and I will give you a crown of righteousness if you're faithful. In the same way that God put the rainbow in the cloud to say to Noah, and from that time even until now, I promise you I won't destroy the world again with a flood. And there's my signal. There's my sign. There is something to remind you, and it's been reminding people now for thousands and thousands of years, that God will keep his promises. I hope that the rainbow in the cloud will mean more to you in the future than it has in the past. Because I don't think God intended that rainbow just to apply to that one promise, but to be a symbol that he will keep every promise that he has made. You can count on that. And as others have said it, you can take that to the bank. Because God will keep his promises. He promised forgiveness for the alien sinner when one has been a believer, baptized into Christ. He promised forgiveness for the erring Christian when one repents and confesses and prays to God. Either of those is your need tonight. The rainbow in the cloud reminds you that God means what he says. If you need to respond to that, come as together we stand and sing.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the Lord.